I'm Carol Hills with The World. Let me take you back to the big moment this weekend when cheers erupted after a new agreement got unanimous approval at the Paris Climate Summit. Okay, now the reality check. What's the New Deal actually mean? For that, we turn to The World's environment editor, Peter Thompson. He was in Paris for the summit, and he's still roaming the streets there today.
The gist really is that 196 countries from around the world got together and said, definitively, climate change is a huge problem. We have to deal with it. They didn't get very specific on how they were going to do it, but they did say we want to shoot to a target of well below 2 degrees centigrade rise in temperatures with an eye toward 1.5. That's a big change from where we were coming in.
What does it compel countries to do?
It compels them to draw up plans to cut their emissions every 5 years and to revisit those plans every 5 years as the science comes in and we know more about what climate change is actually doing to the planet as technology improves and we have more ability to fight it. It does not actually compel anybody to enact those changes. Strangely, it doesn't technically require them to actually do it.
Now, I know at the last moment it seemed that things might get held up because the U.S. objected to a single word in the accord, the word shall. What was going on with that?
Well, you know, that gets to the heart of one of the biggest conflicts around this entire arrangement. The United States has not been willing to commit to a specific level of cuts because that would require a document to be brought before the U.S. Senate as a new treaty. That would be a non-starter. They're not going to do that. So they needed and demanded an agreement that would require some things, but it would not require that. And it's interesting, you know, this agreement was delayed and delayed. The original deadline was Friday evening at 6. It didn't happen. They pushed it to the morning. In the morning, they pushed it to noon. At noon, they pushed it to 3. At 3, they pushed it to 7. And then finally, foreign minister and the president of the meeting, Laurent Fabius, came before the microphones and apologized for the delay and said there were technical errors and there were translation errors, and they got on with it. Turns out that what was going on in that time was that that word shall had somehow emerged in the final draft, and John Kerry saw it, and he said, we cannot do this. And they haggled over it. Kerry ultimately apparently said, we know this was just a mistake. It has been fixed. It has been turned back into should. And they went ahead and they gaveled it through.
What's odd, Peter, is that the 31-page accord does not mention fossil fuels, but isn't that the core of the problem of global warming?
That is a reflection of the difficulty of the process. They mentioned the problem. They didn't mention the chief cause of the problem. There were certain countries that would not stand for that. However, it does set up mechanisms to bring down emissions. It doesn't say what causes those emissions, but it says you need to bring down emissions. So there's a lot of diplo-speak, but it does have this basic substance of requiring countries to report what they're going to do, putting a tremendous amount of pressure on them to do what they say they're going to do, and then providing mechanisms for mostly rich countries to help mostly poor countries, help pay for technology transition to clean energy, to help pay for adapting to climate change when the effects can't be avoided, and to avoid the effects when they can be.
You covered the climate talks in Copenhagen 6 years ago. What changed? I mean, what made the difference this time between no deal and a deal?
I think the extent of the problem has become so clear in the last 6 years. Nobody is arguing that point anymore. Everybody knows this is here, this is now, this is real, and it's only going to get worse, especially China. China really was in the tent this time instead of outside the tent, and they could have stopped this. They didn't. We could have stopped this. We didn't. There has also been a tremendous advance in technology in the last 6 years. The amount of new green energy that is coming online in the world is just phenomenal, and the prices are falling incredibly fast. And there is also a global movement, which there just wasn't 6 years ago. There was a hint of a global movement starting to arise really around Copenhagen, but it's taken off since then and is putting pressure on politicians all around the world. So all of those things together created this moment. Everybody said it was going to happen. Nobody was absolutely certain it was going to happen until Laurent Fabius brought down that gavel on Saturday night.
Of course, proof will be in the pudding. The World's Environment editor, Peter Thompson, in Paris.
Thanks, Carol.
You can read more of Peter's analysis of the climate deal and what's ahead at PRI.org.